What would you say if I mentioned time and space? I have a classic way of describing it, let me tell you. Now, when I knock my cup on the table, you hear a sound. I knock it again, you have compared two times, two moments in your head. You call the difference between them time. That's a belief. There is, in fact, just one moment. These things happened in a single moment. In other words, it's a complete belief. Einstein also says there is no such thing as time in empty space, in outer space. Time and space are completely relative, perception dependent. Since there is no time, just a single moment, everything is created and over and done within a single moment. In other words, all of eternal life is over and done within a single moment. But Allah gives this to us as a perception, as a belief. It's a belief of the brain, a system brought about by the logic in the brain by way of comparison. Otherwise, there is no time. It is technically impossible for there to be any such thing. There is just one single moment. In that case, can we say that every moment of time is determined with eternity? Every moment of time is determined with eternity. There is just one single moment, and everything happens within that. Our past, the first explosion of the universe, the event known as the Big Bang, the passage of 15 billion years. 15 billion years is not even 15 seconds in the sight of Allah. It has come and gone in a moment. So time is fixed and unchanging. Fixed, and does it change? Of course, it is dependent on perception. For example, there may be entities that are seeing Hitler at this moment. There may be people who have just seen Hitler's birth. There may be people who have just seen Napoleon, who have just seen his armies. This is something that is totally dependent on perception and on the entities at that time, on presentation. In that case, if the concept of time is just a moment, then the day, year, or century we experience take place in a single moment. Of course. Can we think of it like this? Let us lock someone in a room. Let us organize a false sunrise and sunset and eliminate the concept of time. You have described this very well in your documentaries. Shall we expand a bit? Yes, that person will definitely not realize, meaning that we can tell him anything in such a position. For example, if we put someone to sleep, artificially with anesthetics, and then tell him that 4 years have gone by. If we show him newspapers from 4 years later, show him the cuttings from them and say, you were unconscious, then he will certainly believe it. He will regard it as quite reasonable. Yes, this is a rather interesting subject. There is a saying about this, as time healing all wounds. Yes. When they say that time heals all wounds, are they acting out of that belief they form in their heads? Sorrows and fears may arise, but time makes one forget them. They come and go in time, but this is given to the brain as a perception, and it is Allah that makes them forget these things. Otherwise, time could never heal anything. In other words, it is a cause. It works like a drug there. That person uses time as a cause, as a kind of drug. And it happens under the effect of that drug. I am learning very interesting matters by way of you. Now, we have so many questions and comments. Time and space were created with matter. True. Shall we expand a little? At first, 15 billion years ago, scientists say there was neither time nor space. But they talk about matter in order to clarify this. Zero volume. Nothing. Then, they say, there was something infinitely dense. They say the universe formed when that exploded. In other words, they are in agreement with the account in the Quran. In the Quran, Almighty Allah says that He created the universe out of nothing. They have come to agree with what the Quran says, and it formed within a single moment. Time and space came into being in a moment with that explosion. In other words, the universe took shape in a matter of seconds, or microseconds. Time began after that. There was no time or space before it. Nothing at all. Only Allah. After that, we are now living in time and space. We can describe life as a theater stage prepared for us. We all live out our destinies. Time is, of course, a form of perception. It's a belief of the brain, a belief arising in the brain. There is no time on the outside. It is entirely relative. Einstein described this comprehensively and says, scientists were terrified when they realized the truth about matter. Physicists are actually aware of this. They know how time and space are a form of perception. This depends on one's perception. Matter exists on the outside. But human beings have direct experience of its image, and whatever they see, that is what it is to them. That is why it is relative. You ask this question about time. I said this at this moment. I also mentioned that you asked the question regarding time. We make a comparison of the space between them in our minds. That is time for us. It is described in the Quran how the Prophet Adam, peace be upon him, was created. Almighty Allah creates an entity like a statue from a substance resembling porcelain and says he breathed his spirit into it and that it then came to life. He says he gave it a soul. Now during Almighty Allah is doing this, the Prophet Adam, peace be upon him, is already in paradise and at the same time in the world. In other words, there is but a single moment in the sight of Allah. They imagined that Allah was all alone and that he waited and waited and one day had the idea of creating man. Surely Allah is beyond that. The fact is, however, that Almighty Allah existed before and after all eternity. He created and finished with everything in a single moment. For example, the Prophet Adam, peace be upon him, was already in the world as Almighty Allah prepared the clay for him and shaped him out of clay. He was already living at that moment. And he was in paradise at the same time. In other words, there is but one single moment and Allah creates it all in our brains, in people's brains, as an image. We asked the scientists about the creation of the world. We ask how it happened. Scientists say that there was something of zero volume, note that, zero volume, and that the universe formed when that exploded. That is true. We ask, what was there before that? And they say, nothing. Neither time nor space, they say. Instantaneous time and space. Now, zero volume means nothing. In describing it, they talk about an atom the size of a pinhead, but even an atom like that has volume. They say zero volume. They say something else, infinite density. They say it suddenly exploded, and that time and space formed as a result. What does that mean? It means Allah is one. Let me tell you this, so you can understand it better. We have lived all our eternal lives in a single moment, not even a second, in the sight of Allah. It is all over with. It is finished, and all for the best. It is finished with goodness and wisdom. That being the case, what need any rational Muslim be worried about or fearful of? A Muslim can fear nothing but Allah. Yes, Allah also creates time inside our brains. Scientists say there is no time in the outside world, in outer space. They say that time is entirely relative and totally a perception. Einstein, one of the greatest scholars of the last century, says this. He says, you cannot have a scientist without religion, or religion without science. In other words, he says that science and religion must go hand in hand. He says he cannot imagine a scientist without religion, and there can be no religion without science. Both go hand in hand. That is an excellent thing to say, because that is the language of the Quran. The Quran says the same thing. Einstein and modern physicists also say there is no such thing as time. That time is a form of perception, that Allah creates time inside us, that there is just a single moment, that everything has happened and is over and done within that moment, that we have experienced it all, meaning that our eternal lives have gone by in that moment. We call this destiny, and we have done everything deliberately and willingly, but Allah creates it all. But if we try to comprehend this, this is not something we can do within a tiny piece of flesh inside our brain, and it is again Allah who rules that piece of flesh. It is Allah who creates it, Allah who creates the electricity in the brain, and Allah who provides this information. We can know nothing apart from what Allah imparts, But we know there is just a single moment. This is a scientific fact. Destiny cannot be avoided given the fact of a single moment. This is a fact revealed by scientists who say there is just a single moment. Everyone knows that. Ask anyone what it means for there to be a single moment, and they will say, destiny. There is no alternative.
Bir kere bunun yani milyonlarca sene onun etrafında dönmesi, yani oradaki enerjinin hiçbir açıklaması yok. Yani çok büyük bir mucize. Yani dünyanın ömrünce dönüyor onun etrafında. Yani bir başlamış.
For one thing, there is no explanation for the energy involved in their revolving around one another for millions of years. This is a huge miracle. They have been revolving around one another as long as the Earth has been around. The process started and the revolution has been continuing magnificently and at the very highest speed ever since. They orbit at a speed of 50,000 revolutions a second. That means a huge force, and they never stray from their paths. Let's consider the iron atom. Someone hits it with a hammer. Under normal conditions, the electrons in it should fly apart under the effect of centrifugal force. But in no way does it get affected by it. Allah has brought it into being with a huge power. There is a complete void between them. Indeed, that is what scientists say. They say that the eye perceives matter as a solid whole, but that is not actually the case at all. Scientists say that matter is transparent. Because there is so much empty space between the proton, where the nucleus exists, and the electron. In other words, between the nucleus, where neutron and proton inhere, and the electron, there is a huge empty space. It is as if the nucleus is here, and the electron is as far away as the Bahçeli Evler district of Istanbul. That is the kind of amazing distance. That is why matter in fact is a transparent structure just like a colander. Scientists say we can effectively disregard what is on the outside. It's 99.9% empty. But scientists say the eye perceives it as solid. They say there is no light on the outside, only light waves. But that is how the eye perceives it, they say, how the brain perceives it. They say there is no sound on the outside, only sound waves. But that's again how the brain perceives it. That's how it perceives matter. And they say there is no time on the outside. That is just how the brain perceives time, they say. There is also no time outside. That establishes a really marvelous and metaphysical state of affairs. It's really, really astonishing. This regularity in the atom, this extraordinary effort it makes, which has no petrol or anything to run on. Atoms receive no energy from anywhere. They have been set in motion and never stray from their paths. How can this happen? 80 or 90 electrons all revolve around a tiny nucleus, 50,000 times a second, at a speed of thousands of kilometers an hour. But they never normally hit one another. All people regard this as if this is something very ordinary. Just a single atom is a very great miracle. For instance, we are currently touching this object, but touching is not possible. There is actually no touching going on at all. There is no repulsion in the structure of atoms. Then we touch something, for instance, the electrons in our fingertips, and those out there repel one another. But we never make direct contact with what we are touching. This feeling of touch stems from one of repulsion. That is, it stems from repulsion. We perceive that feeling of touch because of repulsion. This is not something that is very well known. In other words, no two pieces of matter can touch one another as they repel one another. We touched here, a sensation of touch formed, but that stemmed from repulsion. It stems from a powerful sense of repulsion. We imagine we touch things, but we really don't. Allah has created such wondrous things to bring this about.
If people could see at the very smallest, most minute level, just the structure of the atom would easily be sufficient to lead people to faith.
In other words, there's a glorious system and a glorious world. Iron, aluminum, and magnesium all have different systems. For example, Fred Allen Wolf from the University of California says, "You might realize that life on planet as we live it is really a surprise, considering just how empty the universe really is. In fact, the universe is more than 99% nothing. And considering that the universe is still expanding at an alarming rate, it's getting to be more nothing than it ever was. 99.999% recurring. And considering that the universe is still expanding at an alarming rate, it's getting to be more nothing than it ever was." In other words, under normal conditions, the universe is transparent, he says. All scientists are in agreement on that. Because of the structure of the atom, Peter Russell from the Cambridge University Department of Mathematics and Theoretical Physics, for instance, says, "But what I am actually experiencing is not the tree itself, only the image that appears in the mind. The tree exists," he says, "but I deal with an image of it. This is true of everything I experience, everything we know, perceive and imagine, every color, sound, sensation, every thought and every feeling is a form appearing in the mind. In other words, it exists on the outside, but the mind brings it into being," he says. "The mind shapes it," he says. "The green we see is a quality appearing in the mind in response to this frequency of light. All there is on the outside is waves, waves belonging to an image. We see this as green inside our brains." He says, "You're holding a magazine. It feels solid. It seems to have some kind of independent existence in space. Ditto the objects around you. Perhaps a cup of coffee, a computer. They all seem real and out there somewhere. But it's all an illusion. In other words, the original exists on the outside, but we only experience a figment of it. Anyone knowing this can easily understand the truth about matter. He will know how easily Allah created and will create." Allah makes things expand and contract. All power is under Allah's control. We live in a space in our brains the size of a lentil. We live according to whatever that low voltage electricity shows us inside that space. Allah shows us a world through that electricity. He shows us a bright, shiny world. Allah shows us pitch dark sunlight as bright light inside the darkness of our brains. Allah tells us in the Quran that He also creates shadow. Shadow and light are created separately. He says this is in the Quran. He says He creates shadow independently, and this is a great miracle. In other words, the separate creation of light and shade, and people inescapably think of shadow. But shadow is spatially created, created to give depth to objects. It doesn't form three-dimensionally then. Three dimensions is Allah's artistry. It is Allah's artistry to show objects are three-dimensional. Because we watch the world as a very high-quality three-dimensional image in a space in our brains the size of a lentil. That clarity is far greater than that obtained through any scientific research or technology. Allah applies a most perfect artistry. I mean that tens of thousands of engineers bring hundreds of thousands of technical components together and work night and day, but have never yet produced such a quality of image. For example, I am watching you and you are in my brain. Your watch and mine are in the same place in my brain. There are two watches. Modern physics, of course, identified these matters before. Scientists say that the world's existence is a metaphysical one, that the whole universe is perceived inside people's brains, and that the physicists were terrified to realize that there is no time and space in the real sense. This is not something they tell the public about much. It's not something they want to tell the public about. For example, there is no sunlight on the outside. The sun is dark, black, but people see it as very bright. There is not a sound on the outside, only waves, but people perceive these as music, sound and speech. It's the same with the sense of touch and smell. There are no smells on the outside, only chemical gases, molecules in other words, moving freely about, and these come to the nose, where the nerves convert them into an electric current. In other words, the nerves that perceive scent turn it into an electric current, and that then goes off to the brain. People then perceive this as smell inside their brains, though there are no smells on the outside. In other words, images are dark and black, and there are no sounds or smells, but people still perceive a brightly colored world. No one has ever seen the original of matter on the outside, and it is impossible to do so because the outside is pitch black. So even if they did see it, they would still see nothing, and would still have to see it in their brains. All events and consciousness arise in a place the size of a grain of lentil or rice. We see a very weak electric current there as the world, as the universe. Nobody has ever seen the original of matter on the outside. We only have dealings with its image. Diseases, scourges, problems and attacks are a great blessing. They give Muslims maturity and depth and draw them closer to Allah. Allah creates them deliberately. Disease is created as a miracle in that space the size of a lentil. Medicines are also created as a miracle. Allah creates those tiny pills in our brains. We swallow that pill and it's a prayer. The pill has no effect, but Allah uses it as His instrument, and thus people are cured. For example, Allah shows us a drinking water, and we enjoy the quenching sensation that comes from it. Allah creates the image of water. Water does exist on the outside, but we can never drink the original of it. One receives the impression of water and drinking. Also, one can never eat the original of what one eats. One always has experience of an image of food, of electrical currents belonging to smell and taste. One can never have direct experience of the originals. When we look at food on the table, we are looking at food on the table in our brains. We can never look at the original food on the table. The originals are there on the outside, but only Allah knows them. We can never know the originals on the outside and cannot know them for all eternity. Only Allah knows the originals on the outside. For example, people look at the sun outside and say how bright it is and how magnificent. But the sun outside is in fact the sun in the brain. The sun is pitch black. The sun just emits waves. Our brains perceive them as light, as bright light. When we look at spotlights, we say how powerful they are. But spotlights are also pitch black. We perceive the waves they emit as light and color. There is no color on the outside. Our brains also interpret different wavelengths as color. And there are no smells on the outside. Our brains interpret those chemical vibrations in that way. When we talk about the scent of a rose, there is a chemical cloud, a diluted chemical cloud. Those chemicals reach the cells in the nose. An electric current then forms, and our brains perceive that electric current as scent, but there is no such scent on the outside. It's the same with sound. One hears a very loud sound. That's just the vibration. Our ears receive them as sound. Everywhere is full of radio waves, for instance. Thousands of radio waves exist in everywhere. If our brains received them all, we would have seen them. An orange, for example. When we close our eyes, we see an image of the orange, as if it were right there before us. In fact, we recall the taste prior to the image. Of course, as if it were in our mouths, right away. And when one hears the word lemon, one's mouth generally starts watering. Why is that? It's the body's reaction to that acidic substance. A reaction. That's how it interprets it, as a bitter sensation. It interprets meat as having its own flavor. But it's an electric current that provides them all. It's Allah who gives us these sensations. There's nothing else. If Allah didn't give us these sensations, we would see no light, no colors, and perceive no flavor. What we refer to as sweet is not sweet at all. Allah makes us interpret that flavor in that way in our bodies. For one thing, there is no sun. There is no brightness in that sense. There is the sun, but no brightness. The sun just emits waves in the form of darkness, and we perceive those waves as light and heat. In other words, heat is a perception, and there is no such thing as heat. It's something arising from vibrations. We perceive this vibration as heat. It's the brain's perception. For one thing, the world has a metaphysical structure, meaning our lives are also metaphysical. When you speak to me, you are speaking with the image in your brain. An image of me forms in your brain. This is a most extraordinary thing, and Allah also gives you all kinds of information about Darwinism. You make contact with the outside via a monitor screen. You are watching me on the screen in your brain. Allah transmits the information entering the monitor, and you have no other information than what is in the monitor. My speech is also transmitted through the monitor in your brain. You have no other link. You are in the position of someone sitting all along in front of a screen. Allah gives you all your information about Darwinism and other philosophies and ideas, as well as about pagan and other heretical beliefs. He also gives accurate information. He gives Christianity, for example, and Judaism and Islam. Allah wants you to find the truth from among all this information, but it's again Allah who creates it all. And it's Allah who enables you to find the truth. You must first see the metaphysical nature of the world for that. If a person is asked why Allah created this whole diversity of living things and their classifications within this metaphysical existence, it's to make people think wisely. It's very important to make people reflect. This world is a metaphysical world. There is no matter here. Matter is on the outside. There is no such thing as matter in the world we inhabit. There is the image in my brain. The inside of my brain is pitch black. An electric current arrives, and I then see all this brightness and light. That's how I see. How could anyone not believe unconditionally under such circumstances? And how clearly it is shown. Allah shows us technical equipment and cameras. He shows us the regular glass here, and books and documents. There is a force that produces this image in my brain. My brain cannot do it itself. In addition, I cannot even see what my own brain is like. All I can see of it is what Allah shows me. Allah says there is matter on the outside, and I believe Him. But I only see an image of it. This had a huge impact on me when I realized it at the end of high school. I was unable to sleep that night from the excitement of it. The world is not uncontrolled. The world is metaphysical. Everyone lives in his own consciousness, in a segment of consciousness that has a size of lentil inside the brain. For example, we are talking here, and that takes place in a space the size of a lentil. I see an image of you in such a space, and you see an image of me in such a space. We do exist on the outside, but we deal with the image. We see that the universe is metaphysical, that is evident. He who creates that will not leave the world uncontrolled. Why should the force that creates ourselves, who allows us to speak and to hear, leave us uncontrolled? Everything has a purpose, in other words. A cup has a purpose. A watch has a purpose. A tape has a purpose. A book has a purpose and a carpet has a purpose. Everything has a purpose. So how can human beings not have a purpose? Of course human beings have a purpose, and Allah has revealed human beings' purpose in the Quran.
Bu bir kere gerçek yani dinsizin de dindarın da kabul etmesi gereken açık bir gerçektir. Ya bunu kimse inkar edemez. Bütün bilim adamlarının ittifak ettiği bir gerçektir. Ayrıca materyalist bir görüş değil. Bilakis materyalist düşünceyi yok eden bir görüştür.
It's the truth. It's a clear truth that both atheists and believers must accept. Nobody can deny it. This is a fact that all the scientists anonymously agree on. In addition, it's not a materialist view, but rather one that does away with materialism. It's the idea that Lenin was most worried about. Lenin did not want people even to think about it, or research, or debate on it. It's what Marxists are almost worried about. It's the subject that materialism is most hesitant over, and it's a fact. No matter how much they try to avoid the truth, it's still an evident reality that everyone will agree on. For example, do you think this glass in my hand was created by chance? Or was there an artist behind it? You will certainly say there was an artist. You will say that definitely human beings made it. But human beings don't make it in your brain. Allah does. You see me and all this technical equipment or that service cart over there. If anyone asks, you will say that these were definitely manufactured by someone. But they are being shown to you by Allah in your brain. No factory can have these things shown you in your brain. No company, no research group or scientist can form that image in your brain. A power creates this image in your brain. We call the power who creates this in your brain Allah. I use guarded language when I explain this in order not to panic people. If I explain it at length, in a bald language, someone hearing me may be seized by a terrible panic, so I use very careful language and explain it slowly in a manner people can understand. Otherwise, it will be impossible for anyone not to believe in Allah in the face of this reality. Whilst a person is sane, there is no alternative other than believing in Allah. For example, they make my watch in a factory. Many engineers and technicians work hard to do so. There are two watches, the material one and the one in my brain. I'm unable to have direct experience of the material one. I only have direct experience of the one in my brain. There is a power that shows it to me in my brain. For me, the real watch is the one in my brain, not the one outside made in the factory. In other words, there is one real watch, the one I see in my brain, but that is not made in a factory. The power that makes it is Allah. We never have direct experience of the watch made in the factory. We experience the watch we see in our brains. That's the thing we refer to as the watch, the real watch. That's an evident fact, one that nobody can deny. That's the reality of this world. Materialists are terrified by it. But it's a reality they can never escape. No matter how much they may deny it, they are still denying it in an image in their brains. None can escape that reality. When you look at the sun or the moon, you are looking at the sun or moon inside your brain. You cannot see the sun or moon on the outside. When you look at the world, when you look at a window outside, you see the view inside your brain. You cannot see what's on the outside. Only Allah knows what exactly lies outside. There is matter on the outside, but we experience images of it, not the original. Therefore, Allah creates every species in creation, everything as images in our brains. The originals do exist on the outside, but we deal with images of them. For example, you and I appear to be sitting at a distance from one another, but my watch and your watch are created in the same place in your brain. If you rub your eyes a little, my image and yours will move around. That's clear evidence we are dealing with an image of matter. But the image is so clear and high quality and three-dimensional that we imagine we are dealing with the real thing. The fact is, however, that this is a deception stemming from the clarity of the image. Allah has created us in this way with a superb artistry. And it's absolutely amazing. The world is only just beginning to grasp this great reality. You are now sitting opposite me, and I can see you. You are now sitting opposite me in material form, but the jacket I am touching, your jacket and mine, are in the same place in my brain. Your pencil and my cup are forming in the same place in my brain. There is one image in a single block, and there are not two separate images, nor is there one channel for you and another for me. We are watching one and the same channel. There is a single screen. I see the house on that screen, and I see you, and can see myself and the water. We say there is matter on the outside, but we experience the images of all actions. It's of course impossible for us to see matter in the true sense for all eternity. Only Allah can know that. In other words, no matter what we do, we still come up against the same image, whether or not there is matter on the outside. Of course, there is matter on the outside, or that is what we believe.
It's there, but we can never have direct dealings with the original. We never can. We are dealing with such a high-quality television. Imagine they show us a film and we cannot know if it's real or not. Some three-dimensional images are so realistic they genuinely look like people. The television in the human brain is the most perfect television in the world. It is so perfect that we imagine the person is really standing opposite to us. Even though we're talking with images, for instance, you appear to me to be about a meter and a half away, but that is not so. We are in the same place, and nobody denies this. It's a scientific, well-known, manifest truth. As you know, your image would normally appear reversed in my brain. It comes into my eyes as a reversed image, and then the brain corrects it and produces a normal image, but an electric current comes to my brain. The inside of my brain is pitch black. That brightness forms within that darkness. The inside of the brain is in total darkness. Life and the whole world form in a tiny piece of flesh. Light and colors form. Sound is also three-dimensional. For example, I think your voice is coming from over there. How come does one avoid believing this? It appears to be real as it is three-dimensional. Sound is also three-dimensional. Allah creates a very high quality. He creates sounds and images to such a high quality that almost nobody can free himself from them. One cannot stop oneself from thinking they are real. For example, there is a mild breeze here at the moment. I am drinking lime tea and touching it. I have a feeling of distance and of heat. Your voice is coming from a distance. It is coming three-dimensionally. I also see you in three dimensions. How come does one avoid believing this? You are very clear and sharp in my brain. The tea is also in my brain, and the spotlights and these books and everything are all in my brain. And they all form in a very tiny space. It's just the size of a lentil, isn't it? But this is Allah's artistry. It's a great artistry. Light and shade are created separately, for instance. This is set out in the Quran. Shadow is created separately, though people imagine it forms because of light. Both are created separately. Allah creates light and shadow separately. Shadow is a distinct artistry of Allah's. Objects take form through shadow. They would look very different if there were no shade. The feeling of depth and many other beauties are all the result of shade. Otherwise, there would just be a single plane. It will be very useful for people to be generally aware of this. Though it's no crime for it to be forgotten, of course. But it's a crime to forget Allah. Allah must not be forgotten. We must always know that Allah creates everything. Otherwise, may Allah forbid, people may find themselves in a state of idolatry, saying how well they have done this or that, for instance. But you cannot do anything. What can someone who watches an electric current in a tiny little space that has the size of a lentil really do? He says he has built factories and plants. But does he know where he has actually said that? If he were to see, he said, in that tiny little space that has the size of a lentil, he might collapse and have to sit down to get over that dreadful terror. But he is unaware of it, and says he has built these plants and factories. But just press on your eyeballs a bit, and what happens to all those facilities? They move backward and forward. Then you will clearly see they are all in your brain and that nobody can build any factories. Allah gives you an image of them in your brain. Allah makes all facilities. Nobody else can make them. Nobody can do anything. They say they have built protein in a laboratory. But when we ask what laboratory, it's the laboratory in the brain. In what tiny space? In the size of a lentil. They have produced a laboratory in a part of that space the size of a lentil, no bigger than one or half a micron.
Dünyadaki şu ana kadar görülmüş en büyük mucizedir. Çok çok büyük bir olaydır. Fakat insanların bir kısmı bunu hakikaten kavrayamıyor ama kavrayanların bir kısmı anlamazlıktan geliyor.
Evet.
Ama gerçekten anlayanların da nefesi kesiliyor. Bu çok çok büyük bir olaydır.
This object is the greatest miracle that has ever been seen. It's a huge phenomenon, but some people fail to comprehend it properly and some just ignore it. While those who do understand it are left breathless. It's a huge issue. For example, I'm talking to you now. Your image and mine, the clothes I'm wearing, are forming in the same space in my brain. This is a really huge miracle for two people to be in the same space. If you tell people this, they will wonder how it can be possible and will say it's a great miracle. And we are living this great miracle at every moment. We see the electric current reaching the brain as a human being, as objects, as the world, as light and color. The electricity which arrives to that tiny space in the brain has a low amount of ampere. Indeed, it has a very low power, and we see this as a perfect three-dimensional phenomenon with depth. When we put an image onto a lens, we have difficulty establishing a sharp image. Even if one has a perfect lens, the image will still be rather vague or ordinary. The eye is filled with fluid, and light passes through that fluid, and it's transmitted to the brain as an electric current. I'm summarizing here, of course, and we see this electric current as people and the world. We see cars and go to school and sit at our exams. When a student is listening to a lecture in the lecture hall, he is seeing the hall in his brain. He listens to the lecturer in his brain and cannot listen to the lecturer on the outside. There's a teacher on the outside, but he cannot see him. There is a lecture hall on the outside, but he doesn't see that. The lecture hall is shrunk, really shrunk inside the brain, and the brain shows him an enlarged model of it. It shows it to him as being very large. Since the space in the brain where it forms is very small and the electric current is very low, it's obvious that the image produced by that electric current will also be very small. Something infinitesimal.